It was 2 weeks ago that we focused on the words of Jesus and some of the beautiful things that Jesus said in affirmation of his people. Jesus sometimes said things that were strong words of encouragement to us, and we need to remember them. Sometimes we think of all the words of correction that Jesus spoke, and it's good to remember them as well. But there are times when Jesus spoke some very comforting words to his people, words of affirmation, to his disciples especially. For example, we read, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter into the joys of the Lord," and how each one of us should kind of have somewhere in the corner of our hearts that reminder as we live life. And we live as we believe God calls us to, and that we look forward to that day when we will cross into eternity and we'll hear the affirmation as people of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, Jesus spoke all kinds of things in affirmation, and also Jesus spoke words of encouragement. He spoke words of challenge. And this morning I want to turn to Jesus' final words of instructions to the church. What did Jesus last say to his disciples? What is it that was on the heart of Jesus, on the mind of Jesus just before he ascended into heaven? I want to focus on two words this morning. I want to focus on something that's called the Great Commission. But I want you today to think about that term and those two words and what Jesus said about the Great Commission. The words of Jesus to his disciples just before he ascended into heaven. The Great Commission, really kind of according to Matthew's gospel at least, are the final words that he spoke, that Matthew recorded. You think of all the things that Jesus said and how many things he said. Well, what's the last thing he said? Well, according to Matthew, it is the Great Commission. And so would you go to that next slide, please, Nate? The Great Commission, we think of Jesus being out somewhere outside on the Mount of Olives, outside of Jerusalem. And, you know, artists have painted this beautiful picture of Jesus and other expressions. But here he is. It's his last moment before he ascends to heaven. So what does he say? What's the last thing those apostles around him hear and those that have come to listen to his words? What do they hear him say? It kind of all comes down to this, final instructions. Jesus had done his part, and now he's telling these apostles and believers and disciples that are left behind, now this is what I want you to do. And what he says to them, he says to us, because we're a part of the extension of that day when Jesus ascended into heaven. Both Matthew and Mark contain parts of Jesus' final instructions. And so Mark chapter 16, listen to the words that are there. Jesus said there, he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation." It's pretty short. It's pretty simple. It's not like a 8-chapter book and 300 pages of what Jesus says to the church about our purpose and what he calls us to do and be. He says it pretty succinctly right here in Mark chapter 16. "Go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation." And then in Matthew chapter 28, we read a little bit more. He says, "All authority in heaven and earth is given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." Just a few more words, but there again, Jesus is giving to his disciples, he's giving to us, he's giving to the church, what he wants us to carry with us and remember about our purpose. Why does the church exist? Why did Jesus spend 3 years with 12 men? Why did he take all the time to teach them and guide them and tell them parables and show them his character? Why did he take 3 years to do it? I mean, he could have just come and went to the cross right away somehow. God could have brought that about, to die for our sins. But you see, the purpose of Jesus' life and ministry was not only to die for our sins, but to prepare the church for its mission and what God has for them. And so this Great Commission and living the Great Commission is so important for us to remember. I said a few minutes ago, put somewhere down in the corner of your heart those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." That's something for us to remember and look for. But also somewhere in your spiritual thinking and in your heart should be this core of something called the Great Commission, and how you live in that Great Commission, and how you hold on to it, and how you remember it, and how you express it is so very important. That's quite a mission for you and me. That's quite a mission for the church. When we say it's the mission of the church, we do mean everybody and all Christians everywhere, but you know, the Great Commission is an individual commission too. If you're a believer and you believe what the Scriptures say and you believe what Jesus said is real and true, then you have to hear the Great Commission for you. How do you and I live out the Great Commission? It's one thing to talk about how the church should do it, but the deeper question is, how should I do it? How should I live out? I mean, you think about the first group of disciples. I mean, there were 12, and then they lost one. There were only 11. And here Jesus gives them this great commission, called Great Commission in many places. And Jesus puts this great responsibility on them. Go into all the world. I mean, boy, I don't know what their perception of the world was at that time and how many nations and cultures and languages. I don't know how aware they were of all the world, but certainly the world was a big world then. And Jesus was telling them to go into all the world. How much more so would he tell us today with our ability and communication and travel and connection to other cultures and other languages, that he would tell us something that we need to have in the core of our hearts about our purpose. The purpose of the church is to go into all the world. Well, that's how the church began. Jesus speaking to the disciples and them being filled with the Holy Spirit. And then the story starts in the book of Acts of the beginning of the living out of the Great Commission. What a great story it is. And how they changed their world, those 11 apostles and others who believed in. It's an incredible story. When you think of how quickly Christianity spread in the first century, it's mathematically incredible that such a movement and such a faith and a belief system and a religion could move so rapidly. I mean, when you think about the rapid rise of Christianity, it's absolutely amazing. These people lived it and believed it. They knew that that was the mission that God called them to. And that's no different than the mission today. We kind of get comfortable where we're at and in our culture and in our way of living that we need to maybe throw a little fuel on the fire of the reminder of what is our mission? Why are we here? What is the commission for me and for you? And how do we live that out? These people back then, 11 of them. You know how many people are here this morning? It's a lot more than 11, and 11 people. Yeah, it's like this crew right here almost. They changed the world. They were just normal people who listened and had within them a fiery passion to do what Jesus called them to do. I mean, we could, groups of 11 here this morning. Just imagine what it was like that those 11 and how quickly Christianity spread and the power of the spread of the gospel. It's absolutely amazing. They stood before an open world and kind of like we do. They set out with not all the same tools we do and yet some other tools that they had and they were very powerful. And I guess what says, well, how are we like them? Well, one thing is the very last thing Jesus said in Matthew chapter 28. I said almost his last words, but they weren't alone. And I'm reminded of that today. This is what comes after the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28. So it's good to remember this too. This is the promise of God. This is God saying, I'm giving you a great commission. I'm giving you a great responsibility now. Now, but remember this, surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Jesus said, you're not alone. It's not like you go out on your own strength and your own abilities, but I'm with you. I'm with you in this job. I'm with you with this task. I want to help you and be alongside you. I mean, Jesus absolutely promises to be with us and help us in the task that he gives us to do. So you wonder, okay, well, how do I live out the Great Commission? I mean, right where you work, we'll just start with there, and your job, whatever it is, if you're not in school, you're not retired, you're working, where does God want you to live out the Great Commission? Well, I just want to say to you, surely Jesus is with you right where you're at. And if he's with you, then he's got a way for you to let your light shine for him. We're not alone. This commission was not just for those 11, but for all those who would follow Jesus. And you and I are living in that age. Well, there's three words that I want to highlight this morning at the core of the Great Commission. I think these words are important for us to remember when we think about how am I to live out the Great Commission? Well, the first one is that the Great Commission is about focusing on who Jesus is, on the person of Jesus. Christianity is centered on following Jesus. Genuine Christianity is centered on following Jesus. That means that he has this place in our belief system and in our priorities and in our worldview that's unique from anything else. We're about following Jesus. We're about believing that Jesus is absolutely the most important thing in our lives, and how we hear him and understand him and follow him. How the Great Commission and Christianity itself is focused on following Jesus. If you want to be a real disciple, you want to be a genuine Christian, this has got to be who you are, following who Jesus is and all the things that he did and said and all the truth that he incorporated from the history of the Bible and the Old Testament and the stories there and all up to the book of Revelation. I mean, who Jesus is, I mean, Jesus is eternal. He is the truth. He is the way, the truth, and the life, and he incorporates all of the Godhead. And so when we follow Jesus and we look for Jesus, then we're right at the core of what it means to be a disciple of his, to hear him, to respond to him, to believe in him. Jesus said, make disciples. Make disciples. Go and make disciples. Make people who follow me. Go and encourage people to follow me, he said to them. So the best thing that we can do is point people to Jesus and say, listen to what he's saying. Listen to the claims of the cross. Listen to the story of man and follow Jesus. Learn from Jesus. The word disciple means follower. The Great Commission is about centering our lives and our hope and our future on Jesus. Jesus has got to be the core of who we are. The Great Commission is also about another word, all the world. Three times in the Great Commission, that word is found, all. Jesus calls us to have a perception of the world that includes the word all. It's not just our culture, our language, our group of, in our circle of influence. But God cares deeply about all the world, and he calls you somehow to be involved in all the world. Somehow God says, it says to me, and I believe he says to every Christian, every believer, there's something about all the world that Jesus wants us to have inside of us. There's something that he wants us to long for and think about and be connected to, the all nature of the world. A vision for every person, no matter where they're born, what language they speak, what continent, what city, what neighborhood, what culture they live in, that there's something that God calls us as a church to care about everybody, all the world. The core of the gospel is all-inclusive. The whole idea of Jesus and the cross is about all, about every, about people that are different than we are, people that don't have the same background as we do. The core of the gospel is about all, no walls, no barriers, all authority, all nations, go into all the world. Why did he say that to those 11 people? All the world, I mean China and Europe and Africa, and for them what their known world probably was and what they thought of. But boy, can you imagine Jesus saying that to 11 guys that had sandals on, standing under the clouds on this day that he ascended up to heaven, go into all the world? And how they began to do that, and part was because of the persecution that broke out in Jerusalem after the day of Pentecost, and they had to leave or they would have been martyred then. They all ended up being martyred, but they had to go and they had to preach, and they went. And today, in our world where we have access to travel, we have access to communication, how much more does God call us in the church to get up off of our seats and be involved in going? Whatever that means, going is important. All the world is important. That third word, go. Christianity is a faith to be shared, to be taken, to be lived. The third word is go, and it's key. You should have another place in your heart, the place that says go, the place within you about your faith that is connected to Jesus' idea and the words of going. God wants you to go with your faith. Being a genuine disciple of Jesus always means to go. If you want to be a disciple of Jesus, there's got to be within you a sense of going. It's going to the people around you. It's going to your neighbor. It's going to the person that's across the street or across the locker hall. It's going to people with that passion and that love for Jesus, that you want them to know the same Jesus that you do. That word go is important for your DNA as a Christian. Understand that that's your job, that's your task to go. However you do it, wherever you do it, this little picture gives 100 different ways that we go. We go by visiting sick people. We go by caring for the widows and the orphans. We go by going and being with people that are hurting and broken. We go to challenge people that think they don't need God. We go to people who have never heard the name of Jesus. We go to people that have heard it so much that they've tuned them out. But go is the word. We're called to go. One translation of this scripture, you may have heard this before, is as you are going, make disciples. Jesus, the way I understand the way he said this in original Greek is as you are going, make disciples. He assumed we would go. He assumed that it would be a part of our character and that we would want to go, that we would see our call to go, to get out of where we're at and what we're doing and be thinking about going in the way that we live our lives. Wherever you're at, go. If you're in your house all day, go. If you go to the store, go. When you go to school, go. When you talk to your family, go. The going of your heart and your nature and your spirit is so important. Don't underestimate how God can use your going to call someone to Jesus. Go to your coworkers, go to your neighbor, go to your classmates, go to your dentist, go to the waitress at Carriage Corner. Go to the lady in the gas station down the road. I'm trying to think of it. Any of them. Yeah. Wherever you're at, go. When you go to the bank and the teller there, go. When you call your cousin, you see every 3 years, go. You say good morning to your wife, go. You talk to your brother, go. When your girlfriend hits you with her elbow, go. Go is such an important word. I just want to ask you to think about go and how that's at the core of the Great Commission. Go. Don't be satisfied with what you have. Don't be satisfied to stay. Don't be satisfied to hoard. Don't be satisfied that you have enough. Go. And don't stop going. That doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to change your culture. It could happen. Some people it does, and that's where God leads them. I mean, they go to Africa, you know. A couple in our community recently decided to go to Williamsport, try to open up a children's ministry and for that part of a poor part of Williamsport. God called them to go there, and they are. I mean, God may call you to a certain person. I've told you before, a couple years ago we talked about Billy Graham's challenge about going to our neighbors, and Debbie and I are trying to go to our neighbors. We try to spend a lot of time with our neighbors. Some of them really need the Lord. It's not easy. It's not quick. Doesn't seem successful sometimes. But God calls us to go. Who do you need to go to? You need to adjust your attitude about what you do every day and see it as an opportunity to go. I mean, sometimes with just the basic goodwill and attitude, you can spread something that you otherwise might not know and have, or hope in your life, or believing in the authority of God, respect for God's word. Go. That's at the core of the Great Commission. If you don't have a sense of go, you're at best a sterile Christian. Do you want to be a sterile Christian that nobody ever comes to Jesus because of you? Boy, that's a painful thing for me to think about. I mean, how many people have come to Jesus because of me? I'm afraid to even try to answer that. I don't know that I should, but you know, isn't that a scary thing to think that we're sterile? The Great Commission is about really believing what Jesus said. Believing that He can help us to do what He calls us to do. Having a heart for it, an excitement for it. We often think of go in terms of far places, and that's great and that's important. And you know, sometimes we're better at that. We are sometimes better at that than we are about the go in the local places. But go means be where people are with a contagious, attractive, winsome faith. So when people interact with us, something rubs off. They know we're different. They know that we believe deeply in something that's changed us. Good news is passed on. One writer called it contagious Christianity. You know, we live in such a way that people get sick of us. No, not sick of us, but, you know, they catch something. Another recent book that I read a synopsis of called Sticky Faith. How when you rub elbows, something sticks and they look, what was that, you know? Something's different. Something's real. I mean, they really believe deeply who Jesus is. I would like people to see that in my life. It's not easy. Boy, it's not easy. But I'd really like people to see in my attitude and the way I talk to people and the way I deal with my problems. I want them to see something that, wow. I wonder why they... I want to have a sticky faith, a contagious faith. That's the kind of faith, I believe, that embraces Jesus' words. I mean, more than we read the stories as kids, and I mean, we were to go deep into the words of Jesus, deeper than sometimes we do. I mean, really, wrestle with what was Jesus saying when He said, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. What was He saying when He gave the parable of the sower and He talked about the soil that was choked? I mean, to wrestle with that, what does that mean for me? All the times Jesus said, you have heard, it is said, but I say unto you. I know that shallow Christians will not reproduce disciples of Jesus. I mean, if you're in it just for what God can do for you and, you know, kind of on the edge of being a follower, you know, and I know, we all know, we're not going to be reproducing Christians. I mean, who's attracted to that? Anybody can loosely believe something. But a faith that is sticky. We also have to have eyes that see the world as Jesus did. Sometimes that means broader vision. Sometimes that's looking at people different than we're used to. Sometimes it's breaking out of the mold of our expectations of people. You know, we hold people to a certain standard before we can love them and show compassion and kindness and mercy and grace. There's another shallow way to be a Christian. You know, if you don't live up to what I think you should, then you can't I'm not even going to pray for you, much less really care whether your life gets straightened out. Compassion. Eyes that see the world as Jesus did. Looking at the world like Jesus did. The ability to see beyond our own expectations of people, our own traditions, our own lifestyle, our own culture. The ability to see the world with that burning sense of purpose for eternity. I mean, to see the world like Jesus did, and to see heaven and hell like Jesus did. To know that we're called to be responsible to the world, for the world. John Wesley said it like this, "The world is my parish." He's kind of the founder of Wesleyanism and the Church of the Nazarene. I asked John Wesley, "Who am I responsible for?" I looked out and he said, "Everybody." Well, John Wesley couldn't impact everybody. I know that. I don't know how many people you can impact and I can impact. But there should be a burning sense that that's the call on my life. It's not about my life happiness. Who is Jesus? Who's he call us to be? Great Commission is such a challenging picture. Not just eyes that see the world, but eyes that see people around us as Jesus did. So that we see people as worthy of hearing the gospel. Of worthy of our time. Worthy of our compassion and our care. To see people with eyes of mercy. To see the lady in the grocery store has a real bad attitude. To see her with compassion instead of scorn. When people aren't what they should be and we want them to be, to see them with... Would you go on to the next slide, please, Nate? To see people with compassion and care and love. It takes a heart that's tender to do that. It takes a heart that has been softened by the Spirit of God. It takes a heart that is moldable by God's Spirit, humbled. Also takes hands that are willing to reach out to people. Hands that might get dirty sometimes. That's the one I was thinking of a minute ago. You know that tendency to roll your eyes when people aren't what you think they should be, or whatever you do? How frustrated we get with people. You know, how does Jesus want us to see people like that? And then hands. Hands that are willing to reach out. Hands that might get dirty. You know, if you love people, especially if you love hard people, your hands will get dirty. You probably will be misunderstood by some people. Some people will think you're wasting your time. Just thought of the hands of Jesus and a couple things that come to my mind that he did. Like when he reached down in the dust, wrote something to the woman who was caught in adultery. Hands that reach out. How about your hands today? Do you see them as vessels for the Great Commission? Are you willing to get dirty? Are you willing to be rejected sometimes? Are you willing for the people that you try to help to slap you sometimes? That'll happen. Are you willing to be taken advantage of? You willing for your hands to get old, get wrinkled, get sunspots, worn out, maybe even used up? You're willing for your hands to get spiritual arthritis? You're willing to allow your hands to do something different? Not locked into self-absorbed life, but willing to reach out and think differently. And sometimes our ability to adjust is also important to the ability to take the Great Commission to people. Sometimes to let go of our preconceived notions. And all the world and go can mean so many different things. I just want to encourage you today that God wants you to live out the Great Commission where you're at. I was going to talk a lot about the Church of the Nazarene and around the world, and that's a perfectly good thing, but I don't want to focus on that this morning. I don't want to go there. I just want to encourage you to know that you have potential, if your heart's right with God, to impact people around you. The Apostle Paul said it something like this, kind of paraphrase, "I will become all things to all people, that by all means some will be saved." I love what he said. He didn't say, "I can do anything and I can do everything so that everybody will be saved." Paul knew rejection. He knew what it was to be beaten. He knew what it was to be scorned. "But I will become all things to all people by all means so that some will be saved." Where does God want to use you and me? I know that flexibility is important. We're so dependent on Jesus. All I've said so far this morning leads me to this final conclusion, and that is we are dependent on Jesus to be what he wants us to be. We can't do it on our own strength. We can't do it on our own talents and abilities. We have got to know that he is with us, and right here is where it began with the disciples, John chapter 13. He took the bread and he broke it, gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat, for this is my body broken for you." Then he took the cup, and after he gave thanks, he gave it to his disciples, said, "Take and drink. This is the blood of the new covenant." You want to be a Christian who embraces the Great Commission, you've got to be so connected to who Jesus is. Communion's an opportunity for us to celebrate that and say thank you for that and say, "God, help me. Help me to live it out as you call us to." Would you stand? I'm going to ask our communion servers to come.